Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
So I don't know if you saw Danny Hurley leaving the court after UConn lost to Florida, but as he was leaving the court, there's a video capturing him talking to Baylor and their coaching staff, and he is saying, "I hope they don't F you like they F'd us, Baylor. I'm hoping that they don't F you," talking about the officials. So apparently there's more to this story.
I did a sportsman on it.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
The more to the story thing?
The more to the story, yes.
The more to the story thing.
I had to lower the boom.
You had to lower the boom on Dan Hurley? Wow.
No, not on Dan Hurley. On the, I guess he's the PR director up there.
Okay, yes. Bobby Mullen.
Yeah, he was going to ruin the reporter's life, supposedly.
That is correct. Yeah. So UConn's director of communications, Bobby Mullen, reportedly threatened to, quote, ruin the reporter's life. He did not remove the video of Hurley's rant about the refs. So I guess there's an investigation going on now.
Investigation about what? I mean, that's a public area. We've often talked how we see players who get into fights, you know, NBA, NHL, whatever. Football teams go into locker rooms. Like, remember when the Jets and the Bills go to the same locker room?
Yeah.
And you get a fight going on the way to the locker room, and it's all videotaped and everything else. It's the same kind of thing.
Of course.
I mean, and it's unfortunate Bobby Hurley, you know, snapped the way he did. But as
Danny Hurley.
I mean, Danny Hurley.
Yeah.
The thing about, you know, the Hurleys in general, I mean, they are all in, people. I mean, they are all
that's
in.
That's one man. Way of putting it.
No. And, you know, listen, if I were gonna hire a coach, it's like Rick Pitino. He's all in. John Calipari, they're all in. They work their asses off. They work the phones. They work the transfer portal. They work, you know, the recruiting. I mean, they find the money. They raise money for their schools. I mean, they are, you have to understand something. If you want to win in college basketball, you have got to have that mindset. And sometimes that mindset crosses the line. There's no question about it. And I, especially in this day and age of nil, this is why Coach K and all these other people have gotten out of this. And you listen to Gino Auriemma talk about this. You listen to John Calipari talk about this. The level of insanity that these programs are going through right now, because the transfer portal opened yesterday.
I know.
And, you know, they got some players on their teams that they don't know whether or not they're coming back or not.
Yeah, they're still playing.
Yes.
Yeah, in the tournament, in the Sweet 16.
I mean, the NCAA, and I, look, let's just, I I'm with Calipari here, and I'm with Rick Pitino here, and I'm with Gino Auriemma here, and probably Danny Hurley's the same way. Let's just call it what it is. This is like professional athletics. Does anybody even talk about these kids going to school? Like, Maryland had to go out to Seattle. Now they got to go to San Francisco. I don't know if they went from Seattle to San Francisco, so therefore they're not even back on campus.
I mean, I think we all know that. I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there that still thinks that these guys are student athletes and they're, you know, going all their classes and learning everything. And I don't think anybody particularly cares.
I mean, there was one kid on Colorado State that played at four different schools.
Yeah. I mean, and you're going to see more of that.
And then the coaches leaving, coaches going other places. And, of course, Maryland's, you know, lost the AD right in the middle of all this. And the coach basically outed the AD leaving, going to SMU. So Maryland's AD-less right now. And the coach is putting the pressure on the school to either up its game financially or potentially he leaves and goes to Villanova.
Yeah, I mean, and this,
you're
is,
gonna leave
but this is
to what, go to Villanova?
Yeah, I don't know. Money, who the hell knows? I have no idea why people do what they do sometimes when they're leaving places. But hey, Villanova's won national championships more recently than Maryland.
They're part of the Big East. Here's the reason why I think a guy like Kevin Willard would probably seriously look at it, because I know Villanova has a good football program for what they do, but they don't have the Power Five conference football program that you have to give money to players to. So there's more, I think, like for a school like St. John's, who doesn't even have football, really. I mean, all they have to do is pay the basketball players.
That's right. Yep.
They don't have to worry about paying football players and sharing money with football players. So there is an advantage to coaching at a relatively smaller school that does not have a big football program that you have to share the money with the basketball team.
You know, I don't think that any of this affects the viewing of the fans of the sport. I really don't. I mean, I know it's a talking point. It's crazy what these guys are getting, and I can't believe it. And back in the day, everybody was playing for the love of the game, and now it's all this money. But, you know, it'll be a talking point. When people are watching these tournament games, they're betting on these tournament games, they're watching their team make it to the Sweet 16, or St. John's fans who hadn't seen their team win a tournament game in two decades, they're not thinking about the nil money at that point. They're thinking about enjoying the moments with their team playing well. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Did you hear freshman sensation Derek Queen saying what he said about, you know, he was asked a question up there after their game. He hits the game-winning shot. It's great. Kid has been awesome all year. And even Kevin Willard said, you know, if he were white, he'd probably be the first overall pick. And I didn't know that was uncalled for. He said this about 4 weeks ago. And I'm like, the kid's going to be a top three pick without question. I mean, he handles the ball like a guard at 6'9". But he's silky smooth is what he is. But even he said after the game the other night against Colorado State, they asked him, why do you guys listen to, you know, Coach Willard like you do? And, you know, what has he meant to you? He goes, well, he paid us the money.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because they pay us a lot of money. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, yeah, it's real.
Well, of course. I mean, it's a great little prep for pro basketball for a guy like that, too. So, I mean, I don't know. When you watch that game-winning shot, were you thinking about how much money he was making?
No, I wasn't. I was just thinking about whether or not he's coming back next year, which he probably isn't and shouldn't.
No. If you're him, you're advising him, you're going into the NBA. All right, get some calls in at 888-808-1019. Nikki in Connecticut. What's going on, Nikki?
Hi. Hi, good morning. I listen to you guys on my way to work every day. I work in a school. I just want to touch upon Dan Hurley. I really just think he's a clown. I mean, I'm sorry. I know you guys think this is the way coaches need to be successful, but coming out of a game and then chit-chatting with fans, like, hold your composure. Like, I would have Rick Pitino yell at me in my house to put dishes in my dishwasher rather than Dan Hurley. Like, he will motivate me. Like, Rick Pitino, he's up there. Calipari, I like him. I don't like what he's done to some programs. I get it. You go for the money. But, like, Dan Hurley's got to calm down. Like, there's...
So, Nikki, are you a Connecticut fan? Are you a Connecticut fan?
No.
Part of it. I understand that you're not a Connecticut fan, but
you know, I respect, you know, REM's program, his program. I respect a lot of Connecticut programs. I just, you know, Calhoun used to act a little nutty. I don't know. I mean, I'm a little nutty. I coach, but like, I don't get it. Like, he just gets demonic and like something takes over.
Yes,
and I
you're
get
right.
It,
yeah, no, you're right, Nikki. Maybe there's some water in stores.
Yeah, objectively, he's intense to a fault. I mean, he takes it a little bit further than the crazy college basketball coach. I mean, that's what it is. But then again, he won back-to-back national championships. You know, he had this team almost on the brink of taking down a one seed this year when they had struggled for most of the year. And they're going to be back in the mix next year. So, I mean, but he should, you know, dial it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I guess you had, well, I'll tell you, you know who thought that?
Gino Auriemma.
Yeah.
He said it on a 60 Minutes thing to him. He goes, you got to pipe down just a little bit and enjoy this thing because you're going to look back and be like, what in the hell's happening? Because Auriemma is angry.
Yeah, I think maybe because of health reasons, you dial it back. Maybe you say because, you know, you got to enjoy a little bit of it. But, you know, you might end up having a stroke because of your actions and how deep into it you are. But I will, again, I'm just going to go back and say this about these college basketball coaches. I mean, the truly great college basketball coaches are like maniac. They are crazed. And again, this is why I was telling you about this story that Jason Tatum told about his time at Duke. You know, coach, they were winning in the first half, and I think Jason had 2 points, but he had like 4 or 5, 6 assists, and he was passing the ball to his teammates, and they were winning. And he says that they go into the locker room at halftime, and he's got his arms around his buddies. All right, we're winning this game. This was good. And he goes, I don't really care about the points. I just want to win the game. Seems like a really nice thing for somebody like Jason Tatum to say. As great of a basketball player, this made me even realize how great he truly is, because he's saying all the right things, trying to play the game the right way. And he said that Coach K came in and for 7 minutes just screamed at Jason Tatum about how soft this kid from St. Louis is. I don't want, what are you doing? Are you turning down shots and screaming at him?
Yeah.
And then Jason went out and scored like 26 points in the second half and they won the game.
Yeah.
But the point being is that Coach K, even the great Coach K, who is like, you know, walks on water. I mean, this guy was screaming at one of his top players, maybe one of the best players in Duke history.
Right, but there's guys, though, who every one of these guys seems super intense, and they're the most intense coaches in sports. But there's some that go too far and go nuts. Like, for example, Bobby Knight went nuts. Mike Rice went nuts. Danny Hurley's one of those guys that's borderline going nuts.
But they have all the same personality traits. And quite frankly, you know, I'd like the Terps to win a college basketball championship. And, you know, maybe they'll get past Florida on Thursday or Friday, whenever they play. But the point is that Kevin Willard is approaching that. Like, he's got that in him. You can see he's got the Gary Williams thing in him. He's got the Jim Boeheim thing in him. He's got it in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of when it comes out and I think, and how it comes out. So fans don't understand. Well, I think hardcore basketball fans understand the intensity at which these coaches control these programs.
100%. He's done it better than anybody, but he does cross the line from time to time. You just don't want it to interfere, you know, with them and that program. And like a situation like this, like we're talking about where you got the sports information guy or the director of communications threatening to ruin a reporter's life. Well, I mean, it's like, Jesus, man.
He's caught up.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can be that intense and have success with it and then also take it too far.
And by the way, that guy doesn't have that job unless Danny Hurley wants him to have that job.
Well, that's another reason why he's thinking, like, I better get this video down or I'm going to get fired. This guy's going to stab me to death. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's where it comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
He's scared. Yes. Let's go to King in Hartford, Connecticut, who's been hanging on for a little bit. What's up, King?
Boomer and Gio.
What's happening, King?
All right. Well, this isn't why I called, but that lady that called about Danny Early, she's nuts. The guy has won 2 national championships. I'm in Hartford. He walks on water up here.
Yes, he does.
Of course.
And also, I think he had the wherewithal to know to back out of the Lakers job because pros wouldn't take his attitude, you know. But the reason I called is to back up Boomer's point about Jaden Williams' mom.
Jaden Daniels.
I don't know if you guys saw where they had a scan to the audience of him at an NCAA game, and he's sitting right next to Juju Watkins, and they're all giddy, and they're flirting with each other. And then they come back, and they scan up again, and the mother's sitting between them, and they look at
this is remarkable. I mean,
see if Stephen Walter can find that. He's got to find that on CBS.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, King.
She's a Tiger mom, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that. And now, listen, I know she got – I guess she got into a little bit of trouble around Arizona State or something.
Oh, did she?
I don't know. Somebody on X posted that to us, that there was some sort of a problem at where Jaden started at Arizona State. I think that was under Herm Edwards, and who knows. I mean, all I'm talking about is how she is protecting her son from what she believes is his biggest threat, and that's the women out there. That's her words, not mine.
Right.
That's all.
Well, I mean, and you see it a lot. I mean, you see a lot of the social media things that are going on. You see the, you know, these stories and these entrapments and things that happen. Doesn't mean that every woman that's interested in Jayden Daniels has motives that are not pure, but I can totally understand a mother with a young son who is a
sitting on about $500 million
exactly,
worth of contracts, yes.
Wants to make sure that the person who comes into his life is not someone who's trying to set him up and take all of his money. Like, it's a totally reasonable take by her. So she's going to vet these girls. Right?
Vet these girls. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, can she let her son find love, though? That's the question, G.
You know what?
Are you going to be able to allow, like, Sabrina and Summer to find love?
Sure.
When?
In, like, 40 years. How's that sound?
All right.
Let's go to Kyle in Connecticut. What's going on, Kyle?
How's it going, fellas? Thanks for the call. Just following up on the past two callers related to Dan Hurley. You know, I've never felt the need to call in, but that comment just did not sit right with me, that Dan Hurley is a clown. That man is a back-to-back champion, and like King said, he walks on damn water. Go Huskies. Shout out all my fellas at UConn. Roll them, baby.
There you go. I mean, so he had to restart a very successful program.
Yeah.
And he had to go in there, and I'm sure he ruffled a lot of feathers. But at the end of it all, what happens? Two national championships and the intensity is palatable. You could feel it when you watch their games.
So the two things that I'll bring up, and this is just because these are other guys who have been in that situation, is, and you don't want Danny Hurley to change his intensity. You just don't want it to become an unhealthy thing that could hurt things. Like, you know, this is just dipping the toe in the water, this whole thing about I'm going to ruin the reporter's life and everything that goes on there. But, you know, it reminds me a little bit of Urban Meyer. When Urban Meyer had to step away because of health reasons during that Florida thing, and things were going crazy there with him.
Well, they had a lot of bad players there that were doing a lot of bad things.
But that's a different story. But that's a different story. But still, it was a point where he was so intense, and his wife even talked about it. They'd won a national championship, and he ran into the locker room during the celebration to get on the phone with a recruit, and it was like he was losing his mind. You know, so I know there was a lot of bad things going on there with the players, but it reminded me of that. And also Gino Auriemma and saying, like, listen, man, you're doing it great, but, like, just take a breath.
I mean, Gino's pretty tough.
He's very tough, but he would know, you know, and he said that to him, and he said it publicly. So that's all. I mean, and he's a great coach. He's the best coach in college basketball. There's no two ways about it. Back-to-back national championships is damn near impossible to do.
Yeah, I always think about, like, when they went to go hire him, they probably knew that he had an explosive, intense personality. I personally love it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to coach because maybe I do have that ugly side of me. I'm not sure. Maybe you guys see a little bit of that.
No, you.
Oh, yeah.
Winning doesn't matter to you.
Right. But he's exactly what Connecticut needed to get it back to where he brought it to. And it's not there unless he is the coach.
Absolutely.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more.
Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We got Jerry Recco back in here. He's got another update for us. What's happening, Jerry?
All right, guys. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You had the, I guess it was a lot of the college basketball.
Yeah.
Plus, so I'll get to some of that coming up in just a moment. I'll just give you a couple from Cam Ward, though, because that was the big NFL story yesterday. As he had his pro day and they met with reporters on NFL Network afterwards, one of the first questions he was asked, as we certainly expect him to go number one to Tennessee, he was thought about being the face of this draft as we get closer and closer to it.
I never really thought about it, honestly. And I'm just blessed to be in a position for all 32 teams to be here, you know, not only for myself but for my teammates. I've been blessed, and so, you know, it hasn't sunk in yet, but I'm excited for the future.
Of all 32 teams there, why would the Bengals go?
Did they go?
Why? He just said all 32 teams were here.
Well, you know why? Because it was other players that were working out, too.
Oh,
right?
Okay. Wasn't just him. Not just him.
Yeah.
I assumed it was his pro day. Okay, got it. Here he was asked about his intentions going into the session. A little bit on the longer side.
The Titans obviously have the number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
They like you. They've had you in the building. What did you want to show them today?
I say not only showing them, but every other team just throwing on rhythm, whether it's 3 steps on rhythm, 5 steps on rhythm for under in the gun, heavy play action, you know, gun 5 with movement outside the pocket, just showing them all, you know, under center stuff that I didn't get to show as much during the season, letting them know that I'm capable of it.
When he has to do it in the NFL.
And like, I understand you want to show the best version of yourself in these things, so you're just, there's nothing going on football-wise, you're just in shorts and throwing the ball, but why wouldn't they do this in pads? At least put on pads and a helmet.
I don't know.
I mean, it's stupid, right?
I have no idea.
But like, it's a great question, though.
Just at least do that. You don't have to have a rush coming at you or whatever. Like, you got game tape, but just please put on pads and a helmet.
I would say, why don't you have a full-on scrimmage?
Because
not
someone
will
get
that.
Hurt. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, but at least put on the helmet. You're not throwing without a helmet and shoulder pads.
So true.
Weird.
It's bad enough there's no defense.
Yeah.
But now we're in shorts and a tank top.
Right. I mean, no helmet, everybody's running around.
I know what they're looking at. They're looking at the way he throws, his footwork. They're looking at little things like that. You know, how quick does he release the ball? It's just a combination of variables that they think that they can control, or if there's something in there that they feel like they have to improve on, if in fact they draft him. Like, the first thing we're going to work on is his release pointer, or, you know, where he's holding the ball down by his waist as opposed to up by his chest, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Fair enough. Elsewhere, we get to the spring baseball, because it is over, or it's almost
Thank
over. The Yankees
God.
Play the Marlins today. The Mets are done.
The
Mets
How's are the Yankee Mash Unit doing?
Well, they're going to start a season on Thursday is how the Yankee Mash Unit is doing. I saw a video of the Phillies arriving back in Philadelphia last night, so we are that close to it. Just real quick, though, the Mets did play the Yankees yesterday. Here was Carlos Mendoza joking with Aaron Boone about the reaction to seeing one Juan Soto in different colors.
He's like, hey, I saw Juan, and I told him he doesn't look good. And he's going to say, let me tell you, he looks really good at the plate. I don't care how the uniform looks. As long as he keeps looking the way he is, and you saw it a lot, so... That was my response to him, you know. It's like,
yeah, I like that Met uniform. That's their blue uniform. That's their blue. You know, I know they wear those things for spring training, but I like that uniform. I like that combination.
Pretty good.
And they're wearing something similar to that on the road occasionally this year, too, right? Lindor was modeling that at some point, spring training. I don't know. Whatever, we'll see.
It's going to be.
We do. We shall see.
We got the Yankees Mash Unit. We got the Mets starting pitching, which I don't know. I don't know where it stacks up in the entire Major League Baseball.
Lacks a little.
What's that?
It lacks a little.
That's why, you know, that's why the bullpen is so important, Jerry.
Got Griffin Canning.
Yeah, I just bet him to win the Cy Young. plus $2 million.
That's what they say. Good value.
Yeah, you know, indeed.
Why,
yeah.
Why are we picking on Griffin Canning? I mean, he's getting a shot. We shouldn't be picking on him. We should be rooting for him.
Rooting for him.
I think because Met fans don't want pitchers that are just out there getting a shot. They want, with Steve Cohen's money, to go out and get some lockdown stars.
You'd like to think that the bullpen where they spent money and on their lineup where they spent money should be able to carry a not-so-great, you know, pitching staff, at least for a while.
And who's part of that not-so-great pitching staff?
Well, you know, I thought David Peterson's really come on.
Griffin Canning.
Yeah, I know Griffin Canning's part of it, but I'm saying I think David Peterson has come on the last couple years really well.
Yep, I agree.
And I think Tyler McGill has a chance to be a legitimate starter in Major League Baseball, and Kodai Senga is going to be your fifth starter. Is that the way it's going to work?
Well, I just think he's not technically your fifth starter, but he's going to be pitching fifth in this rotation.
And
they're
going to go with a six-man rotation? What are they going
to
do?
Sounds like it.
Yeah, they're just trying to do whatever they can to kind of get out of this and hopefully get a couple guys back.
The Mavericks beat the Nets last night 120-101. On the YES Network, Chris Sheeran and Frank Isola talking about our guy, the Capper.
He started broadcasting the Nets on the radio in the 2002-2003 season. Tonight's game is his 1,951st consecutive Nets game. How about that?
It really is amazing. That's an Iron Man streak.
I don't understand. I get sick six times a year. How can you do that many games in a row? Even Sterling, who's been sick at times, fought through it, I guess. Maybe not the smartest thing to do, but I don't know. That's
There's an off season. I mean, you're working the entire year. That's one part of it.
Yeah, you know? I suppose.
I mean, he's probably fought through some colds here or there. Maybe stayed away from a stomach virus.
Pretty impressive, though.
Dallas actually had Anthony Davis in the lineup last night for the first time,
He had 16 points and 6 rebounds, that is, right?
Tim Kraftstraw?
No.
I mean, that game that he did had to have been one of the streak games, right? The Minko game back in the day, the Kraftstraw game.
This goes all the way back 20 years.
Kraftstraw, I did that last time.
Minko was doing the engineering his own postgame show and ruining it.
Is Minko, anybody heard from him? Is he all right?
Yeah, I'm sure he's grieving St. John's loss. I have not heard from him.
Probably back to walking to the train station.
Have you checked on him, Eddie?
Thank you very much, folks. We'll see you down the road.
Poor Minko. Yeah, tough. Knicks face the Mavericks coming up tonight. Also from last night's game, though, they do this thing on the YES Network called Ask the Announcers. Could be anything. So one of the fans that they stopped in the hallway wanted to know what Ian's favorite said. Hey, Ian, what's your favorite sports movie? What do you think it might be?
I'm going to say Ian Eagle said Bull Durham.
Oh, fair. What do you think, Boom?
I'm going to say Ian Eagle. It's got to be, I think it's a basketball movie.
It is a basketball movie.
All right, so I'm going to say basketball.
it's not basketball. Here's the answer.
There's a natural tendency to go with the classics like Rocky or The Natural or Bull Durham, and I love all those films. I really like The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. I looked it up. I never heard of it. Dr. J was in it.
I don't
Kareem
know the movie.
Abdul-Jabbar was in it.
I don't know that movie.
And James Bond was in it.
Was it Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in one of the airplane movies?
It was.
Of course. Yeah, no doubt. He could have said airplane.
And then Ian, who everyone thinks of as the nicest guy in the world, quite rude to Sarah Kustak, who wanted to get involved.
Do you want to hear mine, or I guess...
He didn't ask you yours. He does ask mine.
Wow. Ian, very selfish.
Wow.
Ian Eagle, what
Ian
a pig.
Ian getting ornery.
You know what it is? He's working a lot of games.
Yeah, a lot
That's
of games.
That's the problem. He's all over the place.
He's getting pissed off now, turning on his partners.
Maybe. You know? Jason Tatum leaves the Celtics, went over the Kings, turning the ankle on a three-point shot. They did win 113-95. The NCAA tournament back on Thursday. So there have been a lot of critics so far of the way the tournament has gone, because when you look at the bracket, you don't see any 15s or
there's no mid-majors. There's no mid-majors. Right. They're all out. These are all Power 5 conferences.
So Jay Williams on ESPN.
I think my biggest takeaway, Greeny, of everything over the weekend was that NIL is the death of mid-major Cinderella runs.
And then he goes on to talk about why Cinderella won't happen much anymore.
But this could be more of a rarity due to the fact that I think now we're going to see a lot of players that are playing for the Colorado States, that are playing for the McNeeses, that are playing for the Drakes, that are going to get poached by mid-level Power 4, Power 5 conferences.
As they enter the portal in record numbers, as you can imagine, Arkansas is the only double-digit seed, and they're not.
This is the guy that won to Duke.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
of course.
You know, it is, the money speaks. That's basically what it comes down to. If Gonzaga, St. Mary's, those kind of schools can keep maybe three or four guys together.
Yeah.
And have them sign extended contracts so they have to live up to their contracts, then maybe that's how they would have a shot.
And I know you were going through a lot of audio there, but did Jay Williams comment at all on Brandon Tierney drinking with the team after St. John's beat Omaha?
Not that I'm aware.
No. All right, just check for that, maybe.
I don't think he had a comment. Yeah. I'll go through it a little longer, though, and see.
All right, thanks.
UConn beat South Dakota State in the women's tournament by a lot. Paige Becker's at 34. And USC beat Mississippi State by 40-something points, or 37 points. But not a good night for Juju Watkins because of injury.
Defense from the Trojans, and Watkins goes down hard, and she's grabbing her right knee, quickly grimacing in pain.
Juju's face telling the story and being carried off the court, opposite end from the USC locker room.
Yeah, that was on ESPN. They had basically two coaches, or maybe her teammates, I'm not sure, helping her off the floor, and it does look like she will have surgery today or tomorrow for a torn ACL. So not good story there for her. What else? So I mentioned this hockey thing last hour with the Islanders.
Yeah.
I'll do that first because it looked like they were in line for a win if I can find the damn thing. Here we go. So tied game 3-3. You're in the final 20 seconds or so. The Islanders at this point controlling the puck.
Romanov with 10. Rister scores! No, they're saying it's a high stick by Palmieri. It's no goal!
Now, it wasn't. They didn't call a high stick. They called him in the crease, is what they called.
Well, they called goaltender interference because he did. Yeah. He did impact the goalie, and
stop.
I don't think it was. I think it should have been a goal. But I also think that the goal prior to that, and it was Anders Lee that was right in the middle where he always is. And man, he hit his glove and his helmet, and then the puck went in. And they didn't call goaltender interference there. And by the way, Columbus asked for a replay. And since the replay was found to be, they didn't overturn the call, Columbus took a penalty on that. So, I don't know, maybe this is a makeup
call spot.
It might have been.
Man, here's Patrick Waugh.
Palmieri was out of the crease, and we tipped it in, and I think their goalie pushed him away at the same time. So, if Toronto is afraid to overturn calls made by their referee, we don't need Toronto.
There you go. Get rid of Toronto.
So but again, I would just like to really get, well, his team benefited from a non-interference call and got a goal. I would just wonder how he felt about that previous play with Anders Lee in front of, who was it, Merzlikens, I think the goaltender?
Merzlikens, yeah. You got it. You nailed it.
I think so.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Josiah Merzlikens.
Of course I know Merzlikens.
And eventually, the only goal in the shootout. And the Canucks lost to the Devils, or rather, the Canucks beat the Devils, also in a shootout.
It'll be Lettermaki.
Oh, Lettermaki!
He's sticking around.
Hey!
His first career attempt. Right wing side crosses the blue line. Between the circles, Snapper scores, and this game is over.
Lettermaki.
Oh! And Markstrom breaks his stick. He fires it.
Yeah, he did. That was
Jane Daniels' mom will tell you that snapper is dangerous.
Yes.
Tonight, the Rangers are in LA to take on the Kings.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, everywhere.
every style, every home.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I hope the person that is involved in this story is listening to this to know that I have empathy and sympathy for this person. But, and I know he is a listener, even though I've never met the guy, but I do know he's a listener. So sometime between 9 and 10 a.m. yesterday, a Verizon Fios technician showed up to my mother-in-law's apartment complex. And what they do is, once, you know, the Fios and the fiber optic cable is available in certain apartment areas, they'll go and say, hey, would you like to switch? And they give you a whole thing. They knock on the door and give you the whole deal.
Well, your mom's an Optimum user, right?
Not my mom. My mother-in-law. My parents are Optimum users as well. And my mother-in-law, also a Optimum customer.
Oh, so, they were trying to get her, man.
Right, they were trying to get her. So,
yeah.
And she would admit this, but her and technology, not so great. And sometimes it's the worst I've ever seen. I've told a story where she thought her entire... Like, this thing is, you know, my TV's stuck on this goddamn News 12. I can't get it off. I drive over there. She needed new batteries in the remote. Right.
Yes, okay.
So this guy...
You're a great son-in-law, by the way.
Well, thank you. So this guy comes in, convinces her to get the Fios, but she doesn't understand what the Fios is. So she thinks that she's cord cutting now. So she thinks that she's going to be streaming like we stream at home. Now, I've got the Optimum internet, but I don't have the Optimum TV. So she thinks that's what she's getting for whatever reason. Don't ask me why. She thinks that's what she's getting. So she says yes to this Verizon Fios technician. So this is between 9 and 10 a.m. So the guy walks in. She's watching us on TV, and he goes, wow.
He's like, hi, Louise.
He goes, you watch this show?
Yes.
And she goes, yeah. She's like, oh, I wouldn't expect, you know, an older woman to be watching Boomer and Geo. She's like, that's my son-in-law. Hi.
Well, that's my wheelhouse.
Right, the whole thing. Right? Yes. 70-year-old. It's true. So then they start talking, and he's now, it's pouring rain yesterday, by the way. So he's getting all the different things out. He's replacing the Optimum. He's putting in the Verizon Fios. He's outside. He's working for 2 hours. He's got the thing going on. And she goes, so I'll be able to stream the YouTube TV through this? And he goes, wait, hold on. He's like, what do you think I'm doing? Oh, you're giving me I'm doing the cord cutting. You're giving me a streaming service, right? And he goes, no. So then she calls Gina. Yeah, what do you guys have over there at your house? Well, we have Optimum internet, and then, you know, we got YouTube TV. We stream. So do you have to pay for that? Well, yeah, of course. You know what, honey? I don't need this.
Oh, boy.
So this guy, after 2 hours of setting this up, ripping cables out, putting in fiber optic, changing everything around, she says, I don't need it. Then he has to spend another 2 hours reversing the whole thing and putting Optimum back in.
He showed up there at 9:30. He didn't leave until 3:30.
Well, the good news is he got paid regardless.
He did. And
that was his job, and unfortunately, he confused an older woman. and to his credit, he recognized that she was confused.
Right, and said, hold on a second. I don't think you understand what's going on here.
Right, so he did the right thing
right.
by kind of walking her through it, but she had a very exciting day. That's the way you got to look at it.
You know, here's a sweetheart, too. You know, and I'm like thinking, I mean, I hope that he was wasn't driving away and cursing her out. You know what I'm saying?
But I bet you that happens more than you know.
Yeah, probably. Especially you go into an apartment complex and maybe it's an over 55 or something like that, you know, and those things go on. But anyway, so she's back to the Optimum TV and the Optimum Internet and she doesn't have anything else. So there you go.
Well, I'm glad it worked out, Louise, because I'm sure you're watching right now.
Yeah, that guy was there for like 6 hours.
Poor guy.
Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn wants to talk some Danny Hurley. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right, what's Mike. Up, what's happening, brother?
Not much. So St. John's alum, St. John's fan, Patino, you know, fan, the whole thing. Hurley, everything that's happening right now, I think, for a second, let's look at the officiating, right? He was pissed, of course. Let's get some professionalism in there. But the St. John's game changed. UConn game changed. Going to St. John's game, right? The officiating, you made it the offensive game. You couldn't. St. John's couldn't play their defense. How a coach is going to react? At the end of the day, you know, it's a different game now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, if you're talking about St. John's, too, I mean, yes, you know, you had Arkansas actually getting called for more fouls in St. John's, but it was sort of the timing of those fouls, and it ruins the game. And I totally understand when coaches get pissed off about it, and not every moment should be captured on camera, but that's the day and age we live in, and you know if you're Danny Hurley, everybody's going to be rolling on you because you're going to say something crazy that could go viral at any moment. But if your point is that coaches should be pissed about the officiating, yeah, I agree with you. Yes.
You watch all these games, every single coach is riding the officials. I would hate to be an NCAA basketball official. I really would.
Yeah.
The fans are riding you. The coaches are riding you. The players are screaming at you. I mean, they don't get paid enough money as far as I'm concerned. And there's nothing worse than ticky-tack fouls. And quite frankly, I thought, at least in the Big Ten, they don't do a lot of ticky-tack fouls. They let them play. I think in the SEC, they let them play too. And I would like to think that they do in the Big East as well. I mean, you know, there's going to be some... There's going to be some bumping. There's going to be, some charges taken, things of that nature that have to be called because that's college basketball. But I really feel like they let them play. The problem is like the last 5 minutes of these games go on forever between the commercials, between the timeouts, between, you know, shooting free throws, then calling timeout. I mean, it's just nonce. It's never ending.
Yeah, I mean, if that St. John's Arkansas game was the first college basketball game I ever watched, it would have been the last. It was that bad. It was that painful. The missed shots, the fouls, how long it took. It was horrible.
I have to say, we were doing the guest bartending gig, so it was hard to watch the game. I just went back and just watched some of the highlights. And, of course, I read all about, you know, sitting R.J. Lewis at the end of the game. And there's something that people probably don't understand is that when a guy is going through a tough game, so this was John Starks game 7 against Houston.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of game he was having.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And, you know, here's a coach who understands that his best player, the best player in the Big East this year, a guy who brought him all the way to this point, is really struggling, and he's forcing the issue. And instead of playing the game and reacting to how poorly he is shooting, he's still shooting, and he's still making bad decisions. And that's one of the reasons I believe that Rick Pitino sat him down. And the way that Rick Pitino talked to the media after the game, like, you know why I sat him down. He played 30 minutes, but you know why. You know why. You know why.
Mm.
And so that tells me, all right, yeah, the 3-for-17 shooting is one thing, but there were other things that were going on during that game that he was probably trying to force the issue and trying to be the hero as opposed to getting the ball down low where it needed to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when they did get it down low, they kept missing free throw after, I mean, not free, a layup after layup.
Yeah, I mean, they were missing everything. I mean, it was three-pointers, it was layups, it was anything in the paint. It was just, it was horrible.
I will just say that we've been saying it, and I think a lot of guys on the show have been saying it. I think Brandon Tierney kind of tries to defend it. But we knew that if they were going to lose, they were going to. It was going to be because of their offensive ineptness.
Mm-hmm. And it came back.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.